supporting WHYY Penn Medicine, helping to find new cures for cancer. With life-saving clinical trials and advanced surgical techniques, Penn Medicine is offering more hope for patients everywhere. Learn more at PennMedicine.org/cancer. Penn Medicine, what's next?
I'm Dave Heller, and this is Newsworks Tonight. Excitement is building for tomorrow's Super Bowl victory celebration in Center City, Philadelphia. Up to 2 million people are expected for a parade that starts in South Philly, heads up Broad Street around City Hall, then up the Parkway for a rally at the Art Museum. WHYY's Dave Davies is just back from a briefing at City Hall by Mayor Jim Kenney and other city officials. Dave, what did you learn?
Well, we know the parade is going to start at 11 in the morning, Dave, at Broad and Patterson, and is expected to reach the Art Museum for a rally at about 1 o'clock, and I'm told it will last an hour and a quarter. There will be 20 jumbotrons along the way and in the area around City Hall, Love Park, and up the Parkway that will be broadcasting the entire parade. So if you want to just pick a spot up near the Parkway, near one of those big screens, you can see the parade and be in position for the rally. Also, we'll note, you can hear a lot of the speeches right here on WHYY and follow it at WHYY.org. I'm told the rally will be relatively brief remarks from politicians, mostly about the coaches and players that brought us this remarkable victory. Mayor Kenney offered some practical advice.
We expect that there will be long lines everywhere. And just as we waited for decades for this, expect it will take you much longer than usual to get around, and please be patient. Try to bring some food and snacks with you, and you leave the cans of beer home, and take the food and snacks with you, because food establishments that are open may be very crowded.
Hey, was there any reference to the kinds of violence and vandalism we saw Sunday and whether it might be repeated?
Well, they didn't dwell on it, but yeah, they noted that the police will be there. They want people to behave responsibly. There will be police in plain clothes, in uniform, eyes in the sky, cameras everywhere. And if you cause any trouble, don't expect to get away with it. Police Commissioner Richard Ross said 8 people have already been arrested for an incident Sunday night and more are expected. They think it's going to be a quieter crowd, more family-oriented crowd. Just a long, huge, joyous celebration.
And the rain will be gone. WHYY senior reporter Dave Davies. Thanks, Dave.
Thank you.
Now let's get the latest on logistics from Plan Philly's Jim Saxon. Jim, what do you say we first focus on fans wanting to experience the excitement firsthand, but they live beyond walking distance?
Well, if you're in South Jersey, Paco is going to be running express trains from a few stations. And in the morning, though, they'll be only running into the city. And then starting in the afternoon, they'll only be running out of the city. Now, you're going to either have to have a Freedom Card already or have a ticket in hand already, because they are sold out.
What if you don't have a Freedom Card or ticket?
If you don't have either of those, I would recommend driving into the city. The PPA is not going to be forcing parking anywhere except for along the parade route. So you can park someplace, say, in West Philly or North Philly, and take the Market Frankford line or the Broad Street line. Both of those will be free all day tomorrow and be able to get closer to the parade that way.
Similar challenge with SEPTA commuters?
Yeah, for SEPTA, if you are coming in using Regional Rail, you need to already have a weekly, monthly, or daily pass in hand. They are sold out. You will not be able to get one day of. And again, SEPTA will be only going into the city in the morning and then only out of the city in the afternoon. Now, that's just Regional Rail. The Norristown High Speed Line will be running pretty much close to normal, and so will the 101 and 102 trolleys. What SEPTA really wants you to do, though, is to take the Broad Street Line or the Market Frankford Line. Again, they'll be free. However, not all the stations will be open tomorrow. Check with SEPTA beforehand. A lot of stations will be closed.
For commuters coming into big events who are thinking back to the DNC or the papal visit, you're describing the challenges, but I'm also getting a sense of optimism that it might not be quite the cluster gridlock that some experienced during those visits.
Yeah, well, unlike the DNC and the papal visit, we're not shutting down large chunks of the city, right? Most of Center City was shut down to all traffic for the papal visit. That's not happening today. Pretty much just Broad Street and the Ben Franklin Parkway and a couple of side streets right next to it will be shut down. So if you're driving in, say, North Philly or just in West Philly, you'll be able to get around pretty much as normal.
Police barricades, of course, but will there be any security above and beyond?
People taking the subway or the train in should know that SEPTA police and PATCO police said they'll be checking backpacks for beer. They don't want a lot of public drunkenness tomorrow. You should also, you know, just expect to see a lot of cops in the area. They're going to block off a lot of the streets using trash trucks to prevent cars from going through into the parade. But, you know, no more so than what we see for, say, the Mummers Parade.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you.
WHYY Planned Philly's Jim Saxa on Newsworks Tonight. Families who found refuge in Philadelphia after Hurricane Maria are not looking forward to Valentine's Day. On February 14th, Puerto Ricans staying temporarily in hotels will have to leave their rooms, and many have no other place to go. More from WHYY Planned Philly's Catalina Jaramillo.
On February 13, the Love Park statue will finally return to its home in the city of brotherly love. That same day, Muriel Rivera and her 6-year-old son will be packing to leave the hotel room they've called home for 4 months. Rivera says they will have to stay in the streets because she has nowhere else to go.
En las calles, yo no tengo dónde ir. No tengo.
Rivera and other Puerto Rican families in Philadelphia will stop receiving temporary housing assistance on February 14th. Will Gonzalez is the executive director of CEIBA, a Latino community organization in North Philadelphia. He's been helping families to appeal FEMA's decision, which was conveyed to them in what he calls FEMA's Valentine's Day letter.
Because FEMA, quote-unquote, somehow determined that their place where they were living in Puerto Rico when the hurricane occurred is now habitable. And the word habitable is a subjective term, more or less. And so obviously those folks were looking to appeal that decision. We don't know yet what the outcome is going to be for some of those cases.
Without federal assistance, families like the Riveras may have to rely on brotherly love to find a place to stay. Councilwoman Maria Quiñones Sanchez says Latino leaders are meeting with Mayor Kenney to try to find a solution, but that there's no plan in place yet. Catalina Jaramillo, WHYY News.
Peter Souza was the official White House photographer for the 8 years of the Obama presidency, capturing the highs and lows of the country's highest office. Now, Souza has published a book called Obama, An Intimate Portrait, with more than 300 photos telling the story of the administration from beginning to end. Tomorrow evening, WHYY is hosting Pete Souza and a slideshow of his work. WHYY's Peter Crimmins spoke with him earlier this week.
Journalist, you work for the Chicago Tribune, I believe.
That's correct.
I'm wondering if working for the White House is, you had to take a different approach to taking pictures than what you were doing for a newspaper.
Not in the actual taking, making of the pictures. If I had been a journalist and had gotten an assignment to photograph President Obama, you know, spend 2 or 3 days with him, I would have done it exactly the same way. Now, obviously, the uses of the photos are different. You know, for a newspaper, the pictures are being used to go along with a story or it's about the news of the day, whereas the mission of the White House photography office, and especially me as the chief official photographer, my main role is to document his presidency for history. So, you know, even though the White House used, you know, a lot of pictures, made them public right away on, you know, the White House website and so on, the primary mission was for history, creating an archive for history.
So the book, a lot of the pictures, maybe all the pictures, certainly most of them are unguarded moments. They weren't formal pictures. They weren't posed pictures.
Right.
But as the official White House photographer, was it part of your job to take formal pictures, take pictures of meetings? And,
oh, man,
you know.
I tell you, you know, sometimes my job was like watching paint dry. You know, the meetings can be boring and visually. But, you know, you're also photographing the President of the United States. And sometimes you don't ever know for sure whether this meeting or that meeting is going to be the one that's historic. So you sort of have to be on top of your game all the time, even if the end result of these meeting pictures are, you know, maybe not that exciting. But the great thing about President Obama was he was such a unexpected guy sometimes in terms of these moments that you talk about that are in my book, because a lot of them happen not when big things were going on, but when little things were going on. And that really keeps you on your toes as a photographer, because you just never know when a moment's going to happen that tells you a lot about him as a person, as a human being, what his character is like.
Like with his family, for example, I mean, it's kind of surprising that as the official White House photographer, you were given access to his personal life, his family life, hang out with his kids.
Yeah, and I think that's was an important part of who he was and who he is. Being a father was very important to him. He had two young girls. I believe they were 7 and 10 when they came into the White House. I might be off on my ages, but they grew up in the White House, and I try to capture that aspect of his life as well.
This book is arranged, I noticed, chronologically. It goes from even before Obama was a president, when he was a senator, up until his last day in the White House. And I'm wondering if you're hoping that the reader of this book will see this as the visual history of that era.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. Originally, I was going to do the book in sections, you know, family, world leaders, on the road, crisis, things like that. And a couple of the photo editors that had worked with me strongly urged me to make it chronological, because they had looked at my film every day, or not my film, but my digital pictures every day. And they said what the reader's going to miss is the ups and downs of the presidency, how sometimes in the same day you have two completely different emotions. But it's also my take, what I thought was important, what I thought of him, his presidency, and those, you know, those 8 years.
I'm speaking with Pete Souza. He's former White House photographer. He has a new book out called Obama, An Intimate Portrait. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Showers tapering this evening and then gradual clearing overnight. Breezy, falling back to a frosty 25 degrees. For tomorrow's parade, plenty of sunshine, but breezy and chilly, high only 31. Friday, overcast, high 39 degrees. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on WHYY. Thanks for being a YStream supporter of WHYY. I'm Dave Heller. Let's take a music break with bassist Dave Holland from his iconic ECM album, Conference of the Birds. Here's the title track. Thank you. From 1973, bassist Dave Holland with the title track to Conference of the Birds. He was joined by Sam Rivers on flute, Anthony Braxton on reeds, and Barry Alschut, percussion and marimba. You're listening to Newsworks Tonight on Pledge Free Y-Stream.
Unique Indoor Comfort Heating and Cooling supports WHYY. When cold weather hits, Unique offers customers the opportunity for same-day service 7 days a week with fully inventoried trucks. The Unique team can be reached at uniqueheatingandcooling.com.
Welcome back to Newsworks Tonight. I'm Dave Heller. Over the past year, the topic of sexual harassment in the workplace has been among the top news stories. On a recent episode of WHYY's Common Space, storyteller Kathleen Lafferty recounted her experiences with harassment as a female firefighter.
I have a 5-year-old kid, and he wants to be a firefighter when he grows up. And this isn't just Halloween. It's not just dress-up day. It's not just Purim. It's every day. This kid has a full set of turnout gear on the ready at all times in our house. It's probably my fault a little bit. I was a firefighter for 10 years. By the time my son was born, I was out of the job for about a decade. And I don't know that it would have even ever come up if it weren't for the fact that he was so very attracted to those shiny, big red trucks. So I started talking to him about it, and I started telling him what the trucks were for and all the different things that they did. And last fall, we went to 2 or 3 million fire prevention open houses, him and every bit of that full turnout gear. I got back, small smells, familiar smells, diesel engines, sooty fire gear. I hadn't smelled those things in a long time. And it kind of brought me back mentally. It was a little hard. I have post-traumatic stress disorder. It's not from being a 17-year-old kid loading people into helicopters, climbing into crumbled-up cars, or watching an entire family be pulled out of their house and trying to save people of all different shapes and sizes. That's part of the job. That's what I signed up for. I felt like I could do something. Being a firefighter to me meant being empowered. It meant having the gear and the tools and the team to get a job done and to be able to make a difference. And my son has a big heart. I think he gets that. So I have PTSD because I was the girl in the locker room. When those trucks came back in the station and we put the gear away, my workspace wasn't the same for me as it was for my male peers. My one boss, he openly said women have no place in the fire service. And my other boss, when I was still a junior trainee, shut the door behind me. He proceeded to show me his penis. And I actually held in there strong. I was determined. I was doing a job I believed in. And I really loved it, especially when duty called. But the day my spirit finally broke, even though I hung in for a few years after this, was when I walked in. And I found out that my bunk had been tampered with obscenely. I talked to my boss. He said, "We don't assign bunks anyway. Sleep somewhere else." My wish is for my son to pursue his dream. If he wants to be a firefighter, I want him to be a firefighter. I want him to know the bravery and the skill and the teamwork, the determination, even the fears that come with being that person who rides that shiny red truck while it's humming and you're donning gear and you know that you can go in and that day you might save a life. I want him to be able to do that. And, of course, as a mother, my number one thing is for him to come home at the end of every day in one piece, safe physically and mentally and morally. I was on the job for 10 years. When the guys talk about grabbing someone, it's never just talk. They do it. The guys who don't do it, they learn to keep their mouths shut because it's still considered a rite of passage and a mark of manhood to objectify and sexually assault women. But I believe things can change. And when my boy, if that day comes and he continues to want to do this job, I want to be able to see him do it without subscribing to a toxic culture that challenges the good person I know he is on the inside. No guy should ever have to choke down the baggage that comes with working in a toxic, sexist culture. But hey, I still believe in miracles, and I think we can make a difference. I think we're all going to do it, and I think there are going to be a lot of important conversations.
Kathleen Lafferty is a writer, storyteller, and mom. Common Space is a collaboration between First Person Arts and WHYY. It airs the last Sunday of every month on WHYY-FM. It can also be heard via podcast. That's all for tonight's show. NewsWorks Tonight is produced by Shai Ben Yaakov, Kimberly Haas, and Brett Rader. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Heller. NewsWorks Tonight.